Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode has been made in partnership with Friesland Campina Ingredients. Now, in recent years, our understanding of gut health has grown considerably, and it appears the more we learn, the more we realise just how central it is to our overall well-being. We also know that for active consumers, be they professional athletes or more casual gym goers, finding products that boost their performance and health is a key priority. So in this episode, we're marrying those two huge topics together and looking at gut health in active consumers. What are some of the specific issues that arise in those who are physically active? What might some of the solutions be? And how is the food and beverage industry responding? Backed by a healthy dollop of science, we'll explore the worlds of fermentation, whey protein, and the gut-muscle axis. And I'm absolutely delighted to explore these areas with two fantastic guests. Linda Bentert is Global Segment Marketing Manager at Friesland Campina Ingredients. Hello, Linda.
Good morning.
And Sara Camacho is Friesland Campina Ingredients Technical Sales Specialist. Hello, Sara.
Hey, Anthony. Good morning.
Welcome both of you to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you. Okay, Linda, let's start with you. And let's start with the types of gut health issues we see in those who are physically active. What are some of the most common problems?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's good to mention that these problems are in general, in fact, very common. So many athletes suffer from gastrointestinal issues. In fact, I think every long distance runner who ever participated in a race has probably seen all of the Dixies beside the road and visited them too often. And the statistics really are shocking. So research indicates that 86%, so 86% of well-trained athletes suffer from gastrointestinal problems. And we're talking then about bloating, diarrhea, abdominal pain, flatulence. But bloating in general is the most prevalent, I must say. So a really common issue in active consumers.
Okay. And Sara, why do these issues tend to develop then in active consumers? Is there a link with their lifestyle, the sort of activities they're doing?
Well, Anthony, as Linda mentioned, many athletes experience gastrointestinal symptoms, and these have been indeed linked to stressors present in an active lifestyle. So mainly exercise, but also certain dietary habits. And well, when I say exercise, don't get me wrong, exercise can have benefits for gut health, and this has been described in literature, but certain modalities of exercise, and you can think on the type of exercise, the duration and intensity, can say, tip the balance towards the development of issues.
All right, can we talk about the gut-muscle axis? So I mentioned it in the intro. I don't know a huge amount about it. So what is it and how important is it?
Yes, so the gut-muscle axis is an interesting area that is currently being explored in research. We do see an increasing number of studies which indicate that the gut microbiome can impact and also support, one, the muscle mass and function, and two, the muscle recovery, and perhaps even athletic performance. So as of now, it seems that a healthy and a well-functioning gut can support an athlete by limiting certain negative processes in the body, and on the other hand, stimulating other processes that support muscle health. And I can give you an example. If you think on a healthy gut has a well-functioning gut barrier. This means that the barrier keeps out the harmful pathogens that could interfere with the overall health, and more specifically also with the muscle health, while at the same time, it allows the gut to absorb the nutrients in an effective way, which can then support the muscle. On the other side, a healthy gut has quite a large amount of, let's say it's a good bacteria. This means microbiota that provide health benefits by producing useful metabolites. For example, these metabolites can stimulate carbohydrate uptake and also its usage in muscle. And these are some examples of the link between the gut and the muscle in literature, which we think that unfortunately not many athletes are aware or are using it to their own benefit.
Yeah, and that's interesting then, isn't it? That there's a whole area still to explore, and presumably for athletes, it's something they'd be hugely interested in. So, Linda, what are people looking for when it comes to gut health support? What are their priorities?
Well, first of all, what is clear is that there is a huge consumer need. It's a real problem. So for the people that suffer from gut health issues and are looking for gut health support, one out of two consumers states, I don't really have a good fit for a solution. So that's 50%. That's a huge amount of consumers. And last year, we've done a survey in consumers that are known to the performance nutrition product, so that use performance nutrition products to support their athletic performance. It was a global survey in more than 10,000 consumers. And we've asked them, okay, when it comes to gut health support, what are you looking for? Are you in an action mode, or is it of interest to you? One out of three said, okay, I have tried to improve my digestive health in the past 6 months. And then we've also asked them, okay, what is it then that you're looking for? Four out of five of them said, I want additional health benefits to my performance nutrition products. And when we asked them, okay, what is it then that you're looking for? Three out of four say, for example, something that says improve digestive health or improves digestive claims are the best way to support my sports nutrition product, or easy to digest, for example, would be something that I'm looking for when it comes to a product that I use. So digestion, gut health supports really also is on top of the agenda of the consumer.
Okay, so we know that the demand is there. So how is the market responding? Is it responding well in this area? Are we seeing more products coming on the shelves?
Yeah, gut health has been around already for quite a few years. So it's not new. And on the one hand, we see the dietary supplement market evolve a lot. There are plenty of gut health products already available on the dietary supplement markets, but very few focus on the relationship and specifics of sports, for example, high intensity exercise. And then on the other hand, you have the performance nutrition, the sports nutrition brands, and their range of products has typically focused on, you know, the provision of protein, amino acids, creatine, pre-workouts, and they're moving into like a small range of dietary supplements. And where sports nutrition brands have looked to offer a solution, many of them are guilty of, you know, adding maybe a more generic, a pro or prebiotic in their range, or typically, you know, in a capsule or tablet, or in a tablet format, whilst in powders, in combination with protein, we see only 5% of products that, you know, claim to have probiotics, or only 2% to claim to have prebiotics. And even to date, we haven't seen many postbiotics being added to that. So in simple terms, there are no specific products available as the solution that we present. So that's why we have really tried to take, you know, a different innovative angle with our latest product innovation, and that is Biotis Fermentis. It's a whey protein with an added prebiotic GOS, and then fermented together with lactic acid bacteria cultures. So the final product is a powder, and it offers the benefits to muscle health, but it also supports gut health. It reduces bloating, but also shows to offer, you know, additional health benefits on the mood of the athlete, energy, and overall well-being. So it's really a new angle for the market to respond and to bring a solution for this consumer issue.
Okay, and your product involves a fermentation process, is that right? So why fermentation? Why is that important?
Well, fermentation is a very ancient technique And in fact, many consumers across the globe recognize the process of fermentation for its health benefits. So in consumers' minds, a fermented product is immediately linked to gut health. And that is also what it makes so strong in this concept. Really, today we see fermented concepts pop up everywhere. Think of kombucha, kimchi, it's around the globe. So even Forbes, the magazine, called it out as fermentation fever. We've seen double-digit growth over the past year. Yeah, over of fermented concept launches in functional food and drinks. So fermentation is really known and recognized for gut health benefits in particular.
Yeah, and it's come up on podcasts we've made in the past as well. It is an issue, obviously, that's out there. Sara, I'm interested then in if there are any particular benefits in using fermented whey protein rather than other proteins. So are there specific reasons that fermented whey protein is good in this area?
Well, Anthony, what is important to note is that the whey protein is already a very effective, a very well-researched protein when it comes to muscle health. So that's something to keep in mind. But we do believe that fermenting the whey protein may help to do more. As we already mentioned, as we just spoke about, improving gut health may also improve the muscle health. And this is through the gut-muscle axis. So when we are fermenting the whey protein, we are adding some beneficial components to the whey. And you can think about lactic acid and lactic bacteria, as well as exopolysaccharides. But the fermented whey also allows to have some metabolites to be produced in the gut that can also support gut health. So the process of fermenting whey protein introduces a new step, a new opportunity to stimulate the gut health, in addition to the muscle health, of course.
Okay. We're always interested in the science on this podcast. So is there evidence to support the claims that Biotis Fermentis can help with some of the gut issues that active consumers experience? Have we got any evidence around that?
Yes, we do. We already have completed two exploratory studies with our Biotis Fermentis. So one was a consumer study from which the data is already available as a white paper on the Friesland Campina Ingredients website. So we invite all our listeners to just drop by our site and you can read all about it. And the second study, which was a clinical study, is actually now under review at the scientific journal.
Okay. Let's get into that research then. And look, I'm sure a lot of our listeners will know the difference, but I'm interested to let's just set out what are the differences between a consumer study and a clinical study, and why are those differences important?
Of course, Anthony, it is very important to understand the difference between both of them. Well, in one hand, a consumer study is aimed at establishing how a large sample of consumers experience the product. And this will be made in a real life setting. And to tell you the truth, the scientists have a very limited influence on how the consumers use the product at home in their daily life. So the outcome of the consumer studies are mostly related to the product experience. And we learn the final outcome through questionnaires that the consumers answer. On the other hand, we have a clinical study. A clinical study is a much more controlled study. And a clinical study aims to get insights in the ability of the product or the intervention to have a certain effect. So we basically want to know if product A will induce effect X. So besides that, the clinical study, the outcomes will be measured in a more objective way compared to a consumer study. For example, we use physiological measurements and also validated questionnaires. This also, and usually, requires more standardization within the study so that we can minimize the influence of external factors that may affect the outcome of the study.
Okay, so let's look at the consumer study in a bit more detail then. So you've explained a bit about how it works, but what were the key findings from it?
Anthony, I would first like to mention that actually an important aim of both studies, the consumer study and the clinical study, was to first get a good understanding of the perceived gastrointestinal symptoms that both active and well-trained athletes deal with. So these issues are often multifactorial, and we first wanted to have a good overview of the problem in a large group of athletes. The second aim, of course, was to assess what the impact is of Biotis fermentis on these issues. So, okay, going back to your question on a consumer study, Anthony, we had 150 recreationally active athletes in the Los Angeles area in the US. Recreational active, what does this mean? This means that they exercise approximately 3 days a week. And this study included men and women participating in all different types of sports, from gym goers to cyclists, basketball players, you name it. And all participants indicated to have perceived gut issues. The participants were asked to consume 15 grams per day of Biotis fermentis for about 3 weeks. And the outcome measures that we focused on were, number one, gut issues, number two, physical well-being, and number three, mental well-being. And what we have seen is that during the 3 week Biotis fermentis supplementation period, the participants had significant reduction in bloating complaints, which was, by the way, the most prevalent gut issue in this population. And we have seen this reduction in bloating complaints as early as 2 weeks into the supplementation period. And in addition to that, we have seen that the perceived physical well-being showed an increase, as well as participants indicating to feeling more energized. We have seen improvements on gut, physical, and mental well-being.
Fantastic. Same questions again, really, for the clinical study. So what did you find in that area?
Well, in the clinical study, we had two groups of performance athletes. One group with 50 well-trained athletes with self-perceived gut complaints, and about 78% of them were exercising at least 5 days a week. That's what we considered well-trained athletes. And we had a second group, which was a reference group of well-trained athletes as well, but without the self-perceived gut issues. So we had these two groups. In the measurement period, this measurement period was also divided in two as well. First, we had an observation period of 3 weeks to really assess the self-perceived gut issues, meaning to have a baseline to understand what was the normal for both groups. And then we implemented a 3 week intervention period, again with 15 grams per day of Biotis fermentis, and only the group with the GI complaints received the intervention. And we learned a couple of things. We saw that the athletes that indicated to have gut issue complaints also indicated bloating to be the number one gut issue, just like the recreational athletes. And after that, this was followed by flatulence and upper abdominal pain. So this we learned from the 3 weeks observation period, right? And what was interesting was that these complaints were significantly more severe than in the reference group during the baseline assessment period. And this was the expectation, of course, because our reference group did not have complaints. But after the 3 weeks of Biotis fermentis, the complaints were reduced to a level that was statistically similar to what we have seen in the reference group. So without complaints, the group with complaints moved to levels of the group without complaints. And further, we also measured the gut microbiota composition before and after the intervention. And this was only on the group of athletes with self-perceived gut issues. And we observed a significant increase in bifidobacteria, which is considered one of the health-benefiting gut microbiota. So the athletes were not only feeling better, but we actually saw that their gut was also healthier. Huh? And similar to what we saw in the consumer study, these athletes in the clinical study showed a significant improvement in perceived physical well-being also after the 3 weeks of Biotis fermentis supplementation.
Clearly, really, really positive results you've got there. Were there any surprises in there for you? Anything that you were surprised to see that you weren't expecting when you were doing these studies?
Well, I guess that we were a bit surprised about the fact that even the really well-trained athletes which, as you can imagine, had already a very healthy diet, still showed significant improvements in the gut issues, as well as on well-being. And these results on the well-trained athletes, as just mentioned, they are also in line on what we saw with the more recreational active individuals. And I can really imagine that the athletes dealing with these GI issues are genuinely hindered in their ability to get the most out of their performance during training and competition. So we also received a lot of positive feedback about that.
I mean, we've learned from previous episodes of the podcast that we've made that the way an athlete consumes products designed to improve their well-being or performance can be really important for them. And I just wonder if that's backed up by your research and what you found.
Yeah, definitely it is. It's super important the way they consume it and how they can incorporate it in their daily routines and in their daily habits. And actually, also based on the research that we've done, the consumer and the clinical study, we see two major opportunities for application concepts. And I think they are for two slightly different target audiences, also represented by the consumer and by the clinical study. So first of all, you can see this product, Biotis Fermentis, in a more supplement-like concept for really, we call them the heavy users. And these are the serious athletes. So the guys and girls that work out 5 times a week, use protein supplementation on a daily basis. We believe a concept that a portion packed daily use type of supplement could be a very good fit for them. That's also how the participants in the study used it. It's super easy to start the day with. So in the morning occasion, we know that these consumers are most health oriented. And even with heavy protein users that use protein during several meals the day, we know that the breakfast occasion shows really still the biggest opportunity to increase the protein also a bit. So with a portion of Fermentis, you add 8 grams of protein to your diet. But you also bring all of the other benefits, like we talked about. So relief of bloating, but also feeling more energized, improved well-being. So we see this as an opportunity for brand owners as a great line extension, something that they can add to their regular protein portfolio. For consumers that work out a lot and have gut health issues. And then we also see an opportunity for a bit more like a mainstream concept that could be a protein pouch with Fermentis, where people use a few scoops. They can, it's more for users that want to get to know an easy, friendly, light protein concept. It has the benefits of protein, so it gives you some protein, but it also offers these additional health benefits that Sarah just talked about that we've seen in the research. So gut health benefits, energizing benefits, but also on well-being. So that could also be a concept for a more mainstream, regular exerciser. And also Fermentis is taste-wise different or new compared to protein shakes that you know. So it's a bit mild, acidic, it's light, fresh. And that's also something that came out of the consumer study. I really cannot disagree with what you say, that the way an athlete uses a product can really make it or break it. However, I think there might be an even more important parameter for, an athlete to really like or love or even repurchase. And that is if people actually, feel that the product does something for them, right? And then, I'm relying on what we've seen in the studies. They experience the benefits themselves. So You know, how often do you use a product that claims to be good for you, but you don't really feel it and you just rely on what is put on back, right? And people have experienced the benefits themselves. So they feel, they say they feel better. They say they feel more energized. They feel less bloated. So I think that's a super important benefit and USP of this product. And then think of, you know, a serious athlete, you know, somebody who's really into the nitty gritty details of, you know, their diet, and they don't make changes like this in their dietary habits, right? They're really hesitant to change to another product or to a new brand or a new concept. And then for us to bring an innovation to them that is backed by, you know, two studies already, a consumer study and a clinical study, to be able to tell the consumer, the serious athletes, we know and we've shown that a product like this works for you, and really has proven to relieve the issues that you deal with, is also something that we're really proud of when it comes to Biotis Fermentis.
It's quite a complex picture, isn't it? And it's not that straightforward. So if people want to find out more about your product, but also about Friesland Campina's work in general, what should they do?
Yeah, so Sarah called it out already in one of her answers. So there is a white paper on this concept that people can find on our website. So that is biotis.com. And there they can find more about the studies that we've done with Biotis Fermentis. And I know many people in the industry are most probably visiting Food Ingredients Europe in Frankfurt in the end of November. So for all brand owners that also want to taste Biotis Fermentis, they're very much welcome to visit our booth and have a try of the product.
Lovely. Well, that has been absolutely fascinating. I've learned so much in that. Just to say thank you, really. So Linda Benter and Sarah Camacho, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Anthony.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Friesland Campina Ingredients. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. And remember, if you enjoy the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. Thank you so much for listening.